Hey, Jacob's World Podcast. We are continuing our series called Better Than Ever, where we're discovering the foundation and the real nature of how the church is supposed to be the church. Really important during these times. Well, this week, we're going to ask a really important question with an answer that might surprise you. We are going to be asking, who are the ministers of the church? Let's dive in. You know, something you may not know about me is that I get seasick. Now, I don't get seasick on rivers and lakes that I grew up on, but every time I've ever gone out on the ocean, I get seasick. And even when I'm fishing and doing something I love, the waves and the toss and the equilibrium, I just get sick. I've never really had a great time in a boat on the ocean. And to be perfectly honest, that's a little how I felt this week. I have felt like I am just being tossed and turned and so much is coming at me. And I think a lot of you may be feeling the same way. This week we continue to have news about just all kinds of things, from pandemic to the situation going on with George Floyd and with protests and riots and with so much information coming at us. And the truth is that I'm losing confidence in the information I'm getting. A lot of the information seems to be coming from people with dark motives who are sending dishonest stuff. This week we received from many people an email that looked like it came from our city officials saying that busloads of rioters were heading towards our city, only to have just a few minutes later the city actually send out a real email saying that is false, that is not true. People are just trying to manipulate. And so all of this has made me feel discombobulated, has made me feel kind of spiritually, emotionally, mentally seasick. And so I want to spend just a couple minutes addressing just a little bit of what's going on in our world. And I want to talk to you about two things. One, some things that are important to me that I care about, that I want you to know that you care about. And then just some things about what I'm personally doing in response to everything that is going on over these last couple weeks. I just want to preface what I'm about to say, that I am not pretending to be a person to have a lot of answers. In fact, I'm not even going to give a lot of advice. Notice I'm talking about what I care about. I'm not ready to tell you what you should care about. It's not what I'm here for today, but rather just to create some context, because I recognize, again, I'm a white man from the upper Midwest, and I've got a lot of learning to do. And so let me just dive in here by saying there are several things that I think are important that I care about. Now, the first one is simply this. I care about the death of George Floyd, and I care about the need to address the very real problem of racism that has always been part of our country, that is part of our country, that's part of the human condition, that we've made progress on, but we've got a long way to go. And so this week, I just started just focusing on that and asking God to speak to me on that. Now, the second thing I care about is I care about the police and their families who serve and sacrifice to keep us safe. I truly believe that the vast majority of people who serve in law enforcement are good people trying to do the right things, and that this is a very difficult time for them to be doing a very difficult job. The third thing I care about is I care about the power and legitimacy of peaceful protest as opposed to unlawful riots. I think so many people are just resonating with this understanding that protest is our ability to speak truth to power. It's our ability to resist in a healthy, good, and godly way. But when it turns violent and it turns to riots, that's just not an okay thing. And so this is just something that I care about. In addition, I care about shepherding and equipping. See that word equipping? It's going to be a big word today. Equipping the people of Jacob's Well. I think this is our primary calling as ministers, as pastors of the church. We're going to unpack that in the scriptures in just a minute. And so I want to try to help our church walk through this. I want to just say that I think right now we're all afraid. I just want to admit this week I have, again, been tossed and turned and somewhat seasick. I've been afraid. I've been angry. I've been cynical. I've been unsure. I've been testy. You know, I've also just been sad. There have been times I've been numb. But here's the thing we have to remember is that when we get afraid and we go quickly to anger, it just doesn't serve us well. And so I want to shepherd us at this time in the best way that God, that we can do with God's help and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, so what am I personally doing? So several things that I'm doing is I'm praying, I'm listening, and I'm learning. Again, remembering that I'm a person who has not had a history personally of oppression. I don't understand. I have not tasted it. I've not seen it. I have not thought about it probably as I should have. So I want to learn. So I've been calling this week. I've been calling people within our church, outside of our church, both people from law enforcement and people of color. I have many friends in the Twin Cities in Milwaukee who are pastoring churches right now, and I've been in prayer calls with them and been asking what can we do? What should I know? What can I learn? What should I read? I've been reaching out to police and people of color within our own congregation, just telling them I love them and asking them for help and perspective. I called a woman who I grew up with. She was in my homeroom. She was my homeroom partner through all of high school. She has black children, and I just talked to her through Facebook and just asked, what do I need to know? What would you have me read? What don't I understand? And I'm trying to connect in that way. I'm reading and I'm listening to podcasts. I'm trying to listen to people who I have disagreed with, and I'm trying to watch movies and study historical events. Right now, media, we have all kinds of resources there, getting ready for our Galatians series, but also really important teachings about the nature of race and how Christianity stands dead against any kind of racism. I went back and I listened to some of our messages out of the Luke series. If you were here for the Luke series, you know that one of our main themes was that Luke continually included the other. He included women and Samaritans and Gentiles and people of other race, good people and bad people, that the gospel is inherently inclusive. And I listened particularly one message about who's my neighbor, where we looked at the Good Samaritan. I'm asking, was that strong enough? Was that clear enough? Do I need to do more? And I've been praying. I've been seeking more than anything else to listen to God. And one of the things God's been saying to me is it's time to come back to me. It's time to return to the gospel. So I'm praying, I'm listening, I'm learning. The other things I'm doing is I'm inviting God to challenge my assumption and my beliefs, my assumptions, my perspectives, and my beliefs. I'm not being quick to say what I think or what I want or what's important to me. I'm asking God to say, Holy Spirit, reveal in me the things that you want to show in me. Help me to hear above all the political noise from the left and the right. Show me areas of my life that I need to repent in, remembering that repent means a changing of mind, a changing of perspective. Show me if there's racism you need to expose in my heart, in my life, in my actions, as the old prayer of repentance prays, in anything that I have done or left undone. Show me these things, Father, that I need to deal with. The other thing I've been doing, and this has been powerful, is I'm talking to my kids. I have 5 adult kids, and we've been engaging in conversation, and that has been deep, and that has been rich. I've asked each one of my kids to watch the full-length video of the death of George Floyd, and I'm going to encourage you to do the same thing. You say, well, I've seen snippets, and I've seen parts of it. If you've spent this week watching tons of footage of riots, but you have not taken the time to watch that 11-minute video of this man dying before your eyes, you need to do that. And it's going to trouble you. It's going to haunt you. I just believe every person should do that and let God meet them in that experience. I'm challenging my friends and my neighbors and my extended family talking to me, and many of them are concerned with one side or the other and just trying to bring perspective on the other. I was at a campfire in our neighborhood just the other day with some of my neighbors, and they were actually talking about how frustrated they were about the riots. And I asked them, did you watch the video of George Floyd dying? I said, yeah, we saw snippets. And I just said to them, just quietly and as best I could, I said, I really think you should watch the whole thing. I think you should watch the whole thing as parents of children and let that perspective sink in a very real and profound way. The other thing I'm doing is I'm praying for the police and our leaders. Listen, it is very easy to be very critical of leaders right now, and I get that. And some leaders are really not doing a very good job for us, but it is a remarkably difficult time to lead right now. So pray for your leaders. Pray for our police and their families. It is an incredibly intense time for them as well. Now, the other thing, and this is something the scriptures and Jesus really said to me, I'm putting my hope in the gospel, because ultimately what racism is and all this division and all this pride and this separation is sin. And it goes back to the need that every single person has for a relationship with Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, rose from the dead. And when we put our faith and trust in him, he forgives us, he prepares a place for us in heaven, and he starts changing our hearts. So until the gospel changes our hearts, starting with the people of God, the church of God, we're not going to make very much progress. And the last thing that I'm doing is I'm equipping the church for works of ministry. This is a season of service, of learning, of opportunity, of all the five commitments. I'll say more about that in a minute. But again, I want us as a church to engage on this. One of the things I've done is I've reached out to some of my friends who are people of color who pastor churches in other parts of our state and in our region. And I'm asking a couple of them to come this next year and speak to us as a church and help us as a church understand what's going on in their cities and just the things that we don't understand, the questions that we should be asking, we don't know answers to, that we're not even asking the questions. And so as a church, we're wanting to take steps. We again have used Right Now Media to create resources for us to begin in humility to grow, to learn, to gain more of the heart of God, reaching out again to police officers and people of color within our congregation. And some of them, I'm hearing their stories for the first time, and they're powerful stories. And we're praying about how God might have us capture some of those stories and bring them to you. Again, I don't have a lot of answers, and yet I'm resolved as your pastor to help equip you at this time. Now, let me show you where this heart comes from as we look at the scriptures. I just want to remind you, and you may say, oh, the church is closed. The church is not closed. The campus is closed, but the campus is even starting to open up. We're having small groups here. We're having campfires here. Children's ministry is meeting in small groups on campus. Youth ministry is going to be firing up and doing with all social distancing, all that kind of stuff. Opportunities for our people to gather. So we're taking steps towards moving towards that. We are mobilizing our staff. Our staff, by the way, who's working very, very hard. I mean, Herculean efforts to help the people of God stay connected, ministering. The church is open. We are actually reaching hundreds and even over 1,000 more people every week than we ever did meeting on campus. And so God is at work in your church, and we have never closed. Now, let me show you something about the nature of the church. We're in a series called Better Than Ever, where I really wanted us as a congregation to rediscover the nature of the church, because now more than ever, the church needs to be the church. We really need to worry less about coming to a church, and we need to worry more about being the church, wherever we are, whether we're gathered or whether we're scattered, whether we're in big groups, mid-sized groups, small groups. We are the church, because the church is not an institution, a service, a pastor, even a statement of beliefs. The church is the people of God, knowing and loving Jesus and knowing and loving each other. So let me show you one of the most important passages about the nature of the church. It's from Ephesians chapter 4. If you read that whole chapter, you're going to see that we are united based on the gospel. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then he explains what the leaders of the church are supposed to be doing, what their job is. Because a lot of people don't understand what pastors do and what we're supposed to do. I have people ask me all the time, so what is it you do every day? I have people tell jokes. Well, it's awesome. You work a little bit on the weekend and then you get to fish all the time, right? And so there are people who don't understand what we're supposed to do. To be frank, there are pastors who have lost track of what they're supposed to be doing. Because our job is not to do ministry. Did you hear that? The pastor's job is not to do ministry. Indeed, calling pastors a minister in one sense is true, but it's kind of a misunderstanding, because the ministers of the church are something different. Watch this. The word of God now. This is the Bible. And he gave. God gave. So God gives. He calls. He equips. He gives as a gift apostles, prophets, evangelists, look at this, pastors and teachers. So he gives leaders to the church. Watch this now. To equip. So what is the job of the leaders of the church? What is my job? What is our youth pastor's job? What is our worship pastor's? What is our care minister's? It's primarily to equip the saints. Why? Watch this. For the work of ministry. And so who is supposed to do ministry? Well, the people of God. And I'm not just talking about service around the church, although that's certainly part of it, but I'm talking about each individual person understanding that they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. They are called by God. They are gifted by God to do ministry. And that's true in our family. That's true in our community. That's true in our church. That's true in every part. That's true in our jobs. So how do you make your life a ministry? Well, you resolve to dedicate everything you do to and for God. So that's your job, that's your schooling, that's your education. Okay, God, how do you want me to use this for your purposes? God, at work, how do you want me to do my job? How do you want me to lead my team? How do you want me to treat my employees? How do you want me to behave at church? You want me to offer service? I'm in service industry. How do I do it in such a way that I'm looking at it for you? That makes what you do ministry. And so our job is to equip you for the ministry. And look what happens. It says we are equipping people for ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. And so the pastors are not the ones who build up the body of Christ. It's when the people of God embrace their calling, embrace the perspective of ministry, when they come back and say, God, this life is not about me. It's for you. It's an issue of stewardship. It's an issue of legacy. God, this is all for you. When that happens, that builds up the body. Look at this, until we attain unity. So this brings us together, because if you're working for the purposes of God, I'm working for the purposes of God, we're all together doing his work, it pulls us together. We could use some unity right now. And if we put God's priorities first, that unites us. Until we attain unity of the faith and the full knowledge of the Son of God. And so we say here at Jacob's Well, what we're trying to do is helping people know and become like Jesus Christ. You only know, have knowledge relationally and understanding of what who he is and what's he about when you become a minister, when you become equipped to use what you have for the purposes of God. This is what makes the church know God. This is what will make you know God. You think, I'm going to know God, so I'm going to go and the pastor's going to know God. He's going to tell me all about God and then I'll know God. Now, there's truth that we have teachers who teach us stuff. But the bigger point is that you really start experiencing God when you embrace a life of ministry. So he says, we are going to be built up with the knowledge of the Son of God. Look at this. To mature adulthood to the measure of the status of the fullness of Christ. And so what this means is, this is when we grow up. This is when we grow up as a church, as a people, when we start recognizing that in Christ, I have a calling. When in Christ, I'm not going to wait for someone else to do, I'm going to start to do. That in Christ, I have been gifted. And you say, you don't understand, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not powerful enough. True, but the Holy Spirit is in you. You see, he loves to use weak, broken things to do powerful things. And I'm weak and I'm broken. You have no idea how weak and broken I am. I mean, man, you have no idea. And the only thing that allows me to do what I do is the power of the Holy Spirit. When I try to do it in myself, I get weak, broken results. But when I do it in the power of the Spirit, man, everything changes. This is when the fullness of Christ is seen in us and through us, and the people start looking at the people of God in the church and say, wow, something powerful is going on there. It's when the people of God take back their calling and commission to do ministry. Verse 14, so that, okay, so this is what it's going to produce, so that we may no longer, look at this, be children, our big babies, okay? The truth is, some of us have been in church for 4 or 5 decades, and we're really immature. Because our perspective is the church is there to serve me. That this country here is here to protect me. That my family is here for my benefit. That's a childish perspective. And when that gets threatened, by the way, we can throw tantrums. And when we do that, man, it makes everything just ugly. But when we recognize, okay, my job is to minister, it causes us to no longer be childish. Look at this. Who are tossed to and fro by waves. Isn't that exactly how I started this message, talking about how we're seasick, we're being thrown this way and that way because we don't know who we are and we don't minister in Christ's name and we're not being united in the gospel. So this will keep us from being tossed by every wave and by every wind of teaching. There's all kinds of teachings out there and every human cunning. There really are some wicked people trying to use these crises to create chaos, to gain power, to hurt others. Those are out there. I get that. And by the craftiness of deceitful schemes. So how do we protect ourselves against them? It's not going to Facebook. It's not doing research. It's coming back. Say, okay, I'm not going to worry about that. What I'm going to worry about is being the church. I'm going to be a minister. I'm going to minister love. I'm going to make my agenda the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, can I just say that again? I'm going to make my agenda the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel, which is gloriously inclusive, causes us to be brothers and sisters. We need to rediscover the gospel. That's why we're going to do Galatians this summer here, starting in just a couple weeks. He says this, rather speaking the truth in love, okay? So love and truth, holding hands, how we say it, how we listen, you know, how we understand, so important. We are to grow in every way into him who is the head. That's even Christ. That is even Christ. Who has God called you to minister to? This is a question I want you to ask, okay? This week I want you to ask, who has God called you to minister to this week and this summer? Now that may be a very different question than you've thought. And you may think, you understand, Paul, I don't have the energy, I don't have the bandwidth, I just can't do that. Listen, you will do better emotionally, you will do better relationally, you will find God's power come in your life when you take a step back and say, okay, God, I'm waking up in the morning and say, okay, yeah, this life belongs to you, God. How do you want me to minister? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to love? How do you want me to gently speak truth, okay? How can I live above the fear, above the anxiety, above the anger? How can I be an instrument of peace this summer? If you could just get this weekend, a shift in perspective that you are not meant to be a ministry of someone, you are meant to be a minister of the power of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we laid out a challenge last week, 40-day challenge of living out the five commitments, and so many of you have taken that up. I want to give you some reports and then some steps you could take this week to start moving towards ministry in the church. I tell you what, if this church has one or two or 20 ministers, however many staff we have, we can do some stuff. But if we have thousands of ministers scattered and at times gathered, man, we'll change the world. This is Jesus' plan to change the world, to equip his people to be the church. Watch this now. A couple things we can do. One, you need to pray, listen, and learn. Okay, you might do Right Now Media. You might reach out to a friend who maybe has a different perspective than you do, a different story. You know, maybe look at some things other than the things that you've been looking at that make you comfortable, that feed your anger, that feed your biases, that feed your opinion. You need to be willing to stretch out. You need to pray and listen and learn. And this is a time where we're troubled and we're uncomfortable. If your whole goal is to just get past it, listen, that's not the right goal. I think we're in a season where we're supposed to be a little troubled. I think we're in a season where we're supposed to be a lot troubled. And leaning into that and saying, okay, God, what do you want to say to me that I haven't had ears to hear in the midst of my life? I've been so busy and running that now I just invite you to change, to heal, to show, whatever you want to do, let me see. So we need to pray, listen, and learn. Second thing we need to do is we need to worship. This is awesome. This is the Keneally family. They went and they converted their shed, their barn, they call it. I guess their barn again. Sorry, I hope someone's laughing out there in viral world. But they have converted, and they have their mid-sized gathering on Sunday morning. They're part of a live platform. They're there, and they're gathering in a safe way in the church. And this is happening all over the Chippewa Valley. This is a beautiful expression. Way to go, Keneally's, way to go, church. Because one of the commitments is to worship. How can you possibly think as a Christian that's okay not to worship this summer? Okay, now we can't gather in large groups, but we can worship. We've got midweek worship. We got all kinds of stuff going on. And this is people devoted, making it happen. Beautiful. They're being the church. There are no pastors here, by the way. They're just ministers. The people of God ministering. beautiful, powerful, glorious. We're also seeing our camps begin. This is an example of one of our small groups meeting in one of our patios. There's actually one going on right now, this moment, as I'm recording this message. And it's powerful as I walk by and seeing our groups meeting. And our children are meeting during different times and socially distanced, wonderful, appropriate ways throughout the week. Our children's groups are starting to come on campus and begin to meet during the week. Our youth group is going to start doing this. This is an incredible opportunity for people to belong. We warned you last week, I'd warn you again about the danger of isolating. Don't do it, church. Strive to belong. Make it happen. The 40 days challenge is all about growth, commitment to worship, commitment to belong, commitment to grow, commitment to serve, commitment to share. I'm getting texts and emails from people saying, I'm in. 40 days challenge. You say that started last week. All right, 33-day challenge, okay? From this week, start now, church. Make an intentional effort to be equipped to be a minister of the gospel. Serve is blowing up. This is actually pictures from last weekend. This is our Builders for Christ team from Jacob's Well, who are in Amory, Wisconsin, helping build a church right now. They were there last weekend, and even as weekend services are going on, they're going to be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're going to be teams going and helping this church the way our church was helped, in a wonderful way. Now, this next one, I don't have a lot of details on, but I want to let you know about. Our Minnesota, Wisconsin Disaster Relief is currently in conversations with authorities in Minneapolis and St. Paul about mobilizing teams to go and help with cleanup, with rebuild, in any way that we can help. And so I don't have any details about that, but H. Quinn, one of the leaders of disaster relief in our two-state area and also attends Jacob's Well, is leading a team here in a couple weeks. And as we get more information, we'll give you more information. But that's serve. You see, that's serve. It's a glorious thing. And then share. And I'm so excited about this, church. Let's just make this awesome. We are going to actually have a service on campus next weekend, next Sunday morning. And you say, how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to have a drive-up service where we're all going to stay in our cars. Let me just reiterate that. We're going to do good social distancing, but we're going to be able to drive up on campus. And we're going to do things like celebrate. We're going to pray. We're going to celebrate our college and high school graduates. And we're going to bring donations. And so if you go to the website, there'll be a video, by the way, coming out explaining all this as well this week. But if you go to the website, you will see a list from some of our prayer partners, our share partners, like Apple Pregnancy, like Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. We're going to be working with some local food banks for food and Forgotten Initiative, which is working with foster care. They have needs right now. There are already incredible needs. The needs are exploding. Okay, and they're just going to grow. And so we as a church will have an opportunity to come, make donations, fill up some food banks, do some awesome stuff like that. And so you want to get online, you want to find out the details, and next weekend you'll be able to drive up on campus. And we'll see each other and we'll celebrate. And it'll be another step towards that time when we can gather again safely, including everybody in a way that's responsible in big groups. And so these are steps that you can take. Once again, church, the church never closed. Let me just say that again. The church never closed, because the church is not a building, institution, a pastor, a statement of faith. It's none of those things. The church is the people of God. And simply because we are not gathering in large gatherings, man, we are still the church. And so my call to you is to be the church. Quit worrying about going to a service and worry more about being the church, living the five commitments in this season where the world desperately needs to see the church of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit on the ministers of the church. Remind them they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are gifted by the Holy Spirit, and they are empowered, and they are called and commissioned to be the church in every aspect of their life. Make us ministers, and may your church shine in the valley and in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.